celebrate the child who is the light. And we know from what Jesus has said about the light, and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me do not walk in darkness, walk in light. Back in 1989, Michael Carr wrote a song called Celebrate the Child. Today we open up with that song. Celebrate the child who is the light. Now the darkness is over.
Thank you. probably able to say it a few more times to you, but I'm really glad that you are here today. And we do have some birthday people here. Guess who they are? Not me. Charlie is one up here. And there's another one out there in the crowd. I won't say his name, but happy birthday to you, Dave.
Lisa was yesterday. I don't count.
So let's just sing happy birthday to our friends here, shall we? To you. Here comes the big test today. The first Advent candle that we light here today, we call this candle what?
Peace.
The peace candle. Correct. The second candle is called what?
Hope.
Yeah. You're good. The third one, which was yet last Sunday, is the Love Candle. And we had a great concert last Sunday. Those of you that took part in that, I mean, you did a great job. And what a labor of love to give us the message about the real meaning of Christmas that you gave to us last Sunday. And so today is the Pink Candle, which is always stands for what?
Joy.
The Joy Candle. We'll hear more about that today because there are two women that we're going to look at here this morning during the message, Mary and Elizabeth, who get together. And you know how women are when they get together. Right, guys? And what's really interesting is that they have a lot in common. That they will just talk about what's been going on, and they have each have a story to tell that brings a lot of joy to both of them that we get a little taste of here today, which is also good. For the announcements today, I do want to remind you that now next year, I did receive this today, next year on a Wednesday, which is the 5th of January at 6:30, if you know where Pelican Ridge Clubhouse is at, John and Julie Badrin, who were recently in Africa, are going to show pictures and tell stories about their trip there in Africa. And I'm not even sure what country in Africa, but you'll have to go there to find out where they went to and listen to the stories. And that's at the Pelican Ridge Clubhouse. Anybody here who does not know where that's at?
Julie and John were here at Fellowship before they went to Africa.
Oh, they were?
Yes, I think in June or July.
Ah.
And told us what they were going to do in Africa, and John is a retired minister.
He is?
Yes.
Feel sorry for the guy.
It was water purifier.
Oh, he's the guy who always swim.
Chlorine, yes. Something.
Is he the one who swim?
Yes, swim.
Okay.
Okay,
I didn't know that. Never met the guy, so I must have been on vacation or something. So that's coming up on the 5th of January. And if you want to know anything more about that, see Karen. Karen knows that and lives over in that area.
It's a real good program.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He spoke at Rotary.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Well, Ron's another guy we can talk to.
And there might be a few treats available.
Treats? Like eating?
Yeah.
Sweets?
Nothing goes on in Pelican Ridge that doesn't involve food.
Yeah, it sounds like a Lutheran thing. You know, like eating coffee and things like that. Some of the other announcements here today is just to let you know that we are having a Christmas Eve candlelight service on Friday night at 5 o'clock. That's coming this week, 5 o'clock. And hope you can be there for that. And I'm going to do something a little different on Friday night, but I won't tell you what that is until you come with that. But it'll be different. And it'll be good. It'll speak to your heart, and I hope we'll do that. thinking of next year as well. On January 9th, there's going to be a Sunday night Bible study. We'll be watching The Chosen. And if you want a book that goes along with that, that's $15. And Becky Rowe is going to be leading that Bible study. And if you want a book to go with that, I guess they can contact you. Right?
There's a sheet now. I wasn't here last week, but there is a sheet now by Charlie's window.
By the big window out there on the ledge. Okay? Appreciate that. And then the pictorial church directory. We do have people who ask, do you have a directory that's got pictures of the people in the church and their phone numbers and their addresses? And we just have to tell them, no, we don't. But we're in the process of making one. And so if you would like your picture to be included in that church directory, let Dina know. I mean, you can email a picture, or you can, if you were in the last picture directory that the church had, Harbor of Joy, you can use that picture too. Just let Dina know. Dina's right up here.
Yeah, I'm going to start actually compiling everything in January. So, you know, if you haven't given me your address and so forth, I need it.
There you go. So we hope to get that done as soon as we can. But we need your help in doing that. And then also another place we can use some help is the Altar Guild. You know what that is? If you'd like to help just taking care of the altar, like helping with serving, setting up for communion and afterwards, changing the colors, you know all the colors. How many recognize the colors are changed every now and then up front on the altar, on the pulpit, on this lectern? It's blue now because it's around Christmas time, so royalty. Blue is for royalty as we think of the coming of the Savior. And it'll be different colors at different times. And if you're a lot like me, I don't know anything about the colors, but I do know a lot more now than I used to. And it's just something, why the change is you go along with the church calendar, which is different than the calendar we usually go by. So if you'd like to help with that, talk to me or talk to Charlie, call and talk to Charlie, and we'd love to have you help with that. And Charlie will even teach you what you need to know about it. Right, Charlie?
Right.
Okay. All right, the last one is just to realize where our boxes, Operation Christmas Child, went to. We finally found out where they went. South America, Ecuador. And that's where they are headed to, or if they're there, giving the kids from the Samaritan's Purse. And we appreciate those of you that helped put those boxes together or bought things for them, especially Carol Banta, I'm sure, was really behind a lot of it. And so Carol, we know you're in Florida with that little lizard on the rock that was there last time that I got a picture from you. But thank you for doing that, Carol. And there's so many other things that you do that we don't always see. But we're thankful for your little helping hands and feet that are doing so many things at Harbor of Joy. That's all the announcements that I am going to give at this time. And I'd like to just have a word of prayer before we turn back over to the praise band. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come to a place where we want to hear your word. Your word is what keeps us, our feet on solid ground. You are the rock. You're the fortress. You are our refuge. So we thank you that we can come today knowing that the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world is going to be taking place once again. We relive it. We need to hear it over and over again at this time of the year. Lord, we know it probably didn't happen in the winter. Not really sure when it really happened, but we know that it did take place during the time of Herod the Great. We do know that the wise men from the east, the Magi, saw the star and went to Jerusalem, and they asked, where is the one who's born the King of the Jews? And Herod did not even know about this, and neither did his magicians and his wise men that he had around him, but they did find out that something was spoken of hundreds of years before by the prophet Micah and Isaiah, that Bethlehem is a place. That's where they went. And they gave the little child and Joseph and Mary the gifts of a king. Gold, incense, frankincense, and myrrh. And then they were warned by an angel to go back a different way. So Lord, we are here today because of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope, the love, the joy. I'm forgetting one. Peace, the peace that he gives. Lord, may you be with every church around this world that proclaims Christ child, who proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ, that we need to have a relationship with him to be saved, to have eternal life. So thank you for those that have come here this morning. Be with the other pastors in the community and in the area and in the state of Iowa and across these United States that tell the story again of the greatest news, the greatest gift that this world has ever been given. His name is Jesus. In his name we pray. Between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh.
The way of your light from our souls.
Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. You were not pleased.
Manasseh said, "Here I am. It is written about me in this scroll. I have come to you, your will, O God." My ears. The baby in my womb leaped for joy.
Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Bring it alive for us, and may the joy of Jesus touch our hearts and our lives today. May we leave joyful today. If we did not come joyful into the church, may we leave joyful as we leave today, because we heard your word and sung wonderful songs unto you as well. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here's an interesting little thing that happened in the state of Iowa over 20 years ago. Do you remember this? Now, you guys, there's no excuse for you not remembering this.
I have an excuse.
Okay. Your excuse there. There was a couple from Iowa who welcomed into the world septuplets. You remember that? That's seven babies at one time. Can you imagine that? I can't. And there was TV crews, and there was national news. This was way back in 1997. And there were satellite trucks parked around the hospital in Des Moines. And they were just all waiting to hear what was, when the arrival would take place. Now, there had been septuplets that had been born before, but not all of them ever lived. And so that's what made this one so special is, are they all going to be alive? Will they all make it? I feel sorry for the mom. Seven little babies inside of her. I don't even want to have a picture to see what that looked like. But the news finally arrived, and all seven babies were born and they were alive. And they all survived. They're in their 20s today. Think of that. And they came from a town southeast of Des Moines. I think it's called Carlisle, is the place. And so, you could hear the voices of the reporters as they talked about the new arrivals. There was real joy that was there. They were so glad that everything worked out fine for this family. And then came some good news. All of a sudden, there was somebody came forward and said, we would like to give you some gifts. 1 year supply of groceries came to this family. A lifetime supply of diapers. Keys were given to a custom-built van, because they already had one child, so this made eight kids. And so they were given the keys to a custom-built van. And then they're also told that a new home is being built for them because they're going to need space for all of these kids. The community came together, and the church, their church as well, and they all lined up to say, we will help care for these kids. So they came over for feeding times, they changed for changing times, and for bathing times. The community just really pitched in. And so there was great joy and happiness at that time for these septuplets. Now let's go from Iowa State to Israel. And we find that there's not septuplets being born there, but there are two moms who are pregnant and are awaiting the arrival of their babies. And so there's a joyful visit that we have seen here in our text today, a joyful visit between relatives. Mary and Elizabeth are related, the relatives. And Elizabeth is older. She has never had a child. She's been barren throughout her whole life. She's been praying about becoming pregnant. I think she probably gave up on that prayer. But when her husband, Zechariah, went into the temple to pray, as he was selected by lots to go in there to put incense on the altar, that the angel Gabriel surprised him and told him to fear not, and said that God has heard his prayer, and he came to tell him that his wife was going to have a child by this time next year. And Zechariah questioned the angel, and the angel said, okay, you didn't believe me? Well, then you're not going to talk anymore until the baby is born. And he did not talk again verbally until his wife, Elizabeth, gave birth to Johnny, John the Baptist. Because they asked, what will you name him? And the people there were expecting, well, you know, he'd be named after Zechariah, his father, or something like that. But Elizabeth said, his name will be John. And now, like, oh, John! There's no one in your family named John? And then Zechariah said, his name will be John. So that's kind of a little bit of the story about Elizabeth and Zechariah, that they did have a child, and that she carried John the Baptist. We find that Mary came to Zechariah's place, and there was Elizabeth. And Mary is younger. She's only a teenager. Coming from Nazareth to the place where Elizabeth is at. And Mary is a virgin. She's not married. And she's pregnant with Jesus. Now you can imagine about what that had to be like, to live in a small town of Nazareth. And everybody in town knew that Mary was not married at this point in time. She was engaged. We call it was betrothed, which is a kind of a Bible word that it means more than engaged in the American contemporary setting. When you're betrothed in the Jewish setting, you're looked upon as being married, but you're not at that time able to live together until you are truly, truly married. And so when Mary comes to Elizabeth's place, she's there for how long? How long is this visit?
3 months.
It's 3 months. Can you imagine that? How many of you would like to have people come and stay for 3 months? You know what they say? After 3 days... That's right. It's like keeping fish. It starts to stink after 3 days. So it's best to leave before 3 days, I would think. But she stayed for 3 months. It is believed she probably stayed there until the baby was born with Elizabeth, so she got to see John the Baptist before she went back to Nazareth. So very interesting things here. That the second part that goes along with this is that there's the joy between these two women, because the babies they have, they're all miracle babies. So if you think of the Magnificent Seven that were given in Iowa, these babies were miracle babies as well. John the Baptist was prophesied by Isaiah that he would be able to one that would tell the world that you'd be prepare the way for the Lord. And then Jesus is also, is when Mary gives birth to Jesus, and that is a miraculous pregnancy. And it was Mary who just said, when she was given the words, so she said, well, be to me as you want, Lord. I just believe, and if that's what you want, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Not an easy thing to probably say. Maybe she didn't understand all of it. But both of these ladies had been visited by an angel, it'd be Gabriel. Both had been told that they'll be giving birth to boys. Now, this is before there was ultrasounds. But here they're told they're going to have boys, and what they're going to be, they're told what they're to name them. And for both, it was just humanly impossible. But what happens here? And so this event in their lives, you can see that they are just kind of wondering and anticipating, what does this all mean? How did it happen to you? And what's your story, Elizabeth? What's your story, Mary? And for them to talk about the future and what this child is going to mean to them. So they go on, and there's a sharing of the joyful noise, joyful news. Elizabeth gives Mary words of affirmation. The interesting thing here is that Mary, when she comes to Elizabeth's house, all we find in our scripture is that Mary greets Elizabeth. Shalom, Elizabeth! And after that, it's Elizabeth who just talks all the time. And Mary listens. And Elizabeth is just blown away that here Mary is at her house. And it says that in the scriptures here that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one who always gives us the truth. And so Elizabeth knew right away what was happening here, what was going on, as the Holy Spirit enlightened her. And she knew that Mary's going to give birth to the Lord, Jesus. And that her baby, just hearing the voice of Mary, did a bungee jump in her womb. And she felt it. And she realized something special was going on here. And something really special was taking place. What we find with Elizabeth is that everything that is pointing to in her conversation, in the word that she says to Mary, it's all about Mary's faith in how she received the news from Gabriel and what this is going to do in her life and what her son is going to do in the future, as well as her own son. Her own son will be the one who will announce his coming and that he's the Savior of the world and will baptize him in the Jordan River. But everything is focused on what Jesus, the baby of Mary, is going to do. And Jesus says, Mary, you are blessed because she believed. Now that was better than what her husband did, Zechariah. Remember, Zechariah did not really believe. He just questioned, and if you read that account, it's in the first chapter of Luke, of him in the temple when this takes place. And you look at, really what Zechariah says, it doesn't look like it's all that bad. But what Gabriel said, okay, you're not going to talk until the baby's born. And so he had to do sign language, and he probably had to write and draw pictures or whatever, something like that to try to communicate for those months before his son was born. There was joy before these boys were born. And what is going to happen in the next 30 years? I mean, they had no idea if it'd take 30 years. But that's really when Jesus' ministry started, is when he was 30. John's ministry started a little bit before that. And remember that John was not your typical preacher in that day. If you wanted to go hear someone preaching on God's word, you'd go to Jerusalem and you'd go to the temple or you'd go to some synagogue. But here, to go hear John, he was out in the desert. Jordan River. And He wore some interesting clothing. He had an interesting diet. And probably for the most part, people in Jerusalem would kind of go like, that's one wild, crazy pastor out there. But many people went out there. Many people repented, were baptized in the Jordan River for the forgiveness of their sins. And yet he said, there's one coming who I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And when Jesus comes, it is John who says, behold, or look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He must increase and I must decrease. Incredible words. And that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It is then when you hear the people heard God say from the heavens. You couldn't see God, but you heard the word say, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then there's one that looks like the dove that came down and landed on him, which is the Holy Spirit. You got Jesus there in person. You got the Trinity that's there. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the beginning, where Jesus then goes and starts finding his disciples and calls them to follow him. So that's the message of Christmas. And as you visit or you get company this coming week, may you find that there's much joy as you meet those who come to the door and you invite them in. I mean, if I come to your door, I hope you invite me in. I hope you're not like the innkeeper. There is no room here. Yeah. Chance of that happening a lot, all that, you know, but you never know. But the joy will be determined. It'll depend on how much you think of yourself during this time at Christmas, or how much you really think of those that are coming to see you. There will be rejoicing, knowing that the blessings of God, that he still does surprise visits to sinners in a dark and sinful world. And he still wants to make a visit in your life if you don't know him. He would love to still visit you and to say how much he loves you and cares about you and how much he wants to forgive you of your sin. Because he wants you to come to know him and to believe in him as the Savior, your personal Savior. And that's really the true meaning of Christmas. God coming to become one of us. May that always be on your mind this coming week and next weekend. And may you give God all the glory. That he loves you as much as he does. We don't deserve his love. That he truly does love us. He cares about us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that was there between these two women, Mary and Elizabeth. We know that Mary would have to go back and probably tell Joseph everything that happened at Elizabeth's house, and Zachariah probably just listened in to all of it. He had 3 months to listen when he was home. We don't know what time he got back home. We know that he played an important part of the duties that were to take place in the temple, that he became a part of that, making sure the incense didn't go out. And there were some, Lord, that they were priests that who came part of that division that Zechariah was from, that sometimes they were never ever picked to go in into make sure the incense was lit, or kept going. And so it's just kind of one of those things that there's nothing that happens by accident or by coincidence, but you chose Zechariah to go into the temple, and you visited him there. You didn't expect it. And you honored his prayer about his wife. And there's nothing worse to a Jewish woman than to not have a child. And she had given up, Elizabeth had given up, and yet, Lord, you came through. There are so many things, Lord, that happen in our lives that we give up too. We just kind of say, like, well, it never happened, or, oh, man, this just isn't going to work. And Lord, you still surprise us. So may this Christmas be one of those times in which we, too, will be surprised, and then we will think about this portion of Scripture. I'm saying that it's true, you still do visit and surprise people today. And so, Lord, be with us as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. If you notice in the Apostles' Creed, it's talking about the triune God. You've got God the Father, there's what they call them articles. There's three articles. Three is kind of a big thing. Three articles. The first, the second, the third. The first one has with God the Father. The second one with God the Son. And the third with God the Holy Spirit. So let's say them together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated.